Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 18, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, nor shall the priests, the Levites, lack a man to offer burnt offerings to me, to kindle grain offerings, and to sacrifice continually. This is the word of the Lord. We are now in the season of Advent. Advent means coming. The topic of Advent is the coming of Christ. The words that I, the words that I just read to you describe the coming of Christ. The prophet predicts a wonderful time when the promised Savior, whom he calls a branch of righteousness, will execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. Judah will be saved, Jerusalem will dwell safely, all of God's gracious promises will come true. When Jeremiah wrote these words, it appeared that Judah had no future and that King David's throne would vanish. But God, in the words that you just heard, promised through his prophet that the kingdom of David would not perish. David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, he said. The branch of righteousness would grow from the broken nation. And it was a broken nation. Literally, Israel had been broken into two kingdoms, and then each kingdom was conquered by foreign powers and taken away into captivity. She was God's nation and God's church, but because she embraced false teaching and false worship, God gave her up to her sins and let her be taken captive. She was cut off. Let that be a lesson to the church of our day. The Old Testament was written in a language we do not know, about a people we have never seen, in a land thousands of miles away, at a time thousands of years ago. For this reason, the study of the Old Testament might be regarded as daunting. We can understand the Old Testament if we keep one thing in mind. Jesus Christ is the key to understanding the Old Testament. If you know that Jesus Christ is true God and true man, and that his blood and righteousness are your salvation, then you are in a position to read and understand the Old Testament. It won't make any sense to you if you don't know Christ. Forget about reading the Old Testament. American Christianity, which has influenced all of us because we are Americans, has a very high view of the Bible, but not a particularly high view of Christ and his church. And that's a problem because we're infected by the errors of our culture. Most Americans who call themselves Christians believe that the Bible is the Word of God, but few believe in the dignity, glory, and holiness of Christ's church. If there is such a thing as an American brand of Christianity, it would be some form of Puritanism. And if you know your American history, you know that Puritanism was a particularly severe form of Calvinism that found refuge in America several centuries ago, and then it spawned many religious movements in the New World. None of them had a particularly high view of the church. This all-American brand of Christianity is radically Protestant and anti-Catholic. As such, it has little respect for the church. Protestants criticize Rome for hanging on to her traditions, and meanwhile, Protestants throw away their own traditions as so much excess baggage. They try to Christianize the culture. That's what the Puritans did. That's what the Norwegian Lutheran Pietists did. Instead of taking a countercultural position, standing up against the false religions of the popular culture to preserve for future generations the inheritance of the past, these Americanized Christians toss aside their Christian heritage inherited from the fathers in an arrogant dismissal of tradition and a naive acceptance of trendy new measures and styles of piety. Protestants have broken from historic Christianity and found themselves lost within an increasingly rudderless American pop Christianity, a Christianity that isn't sure what a Christian is and doesn't know how to find out. They fail in their efforts to take over the culture and are instead taken over by it. Despising the true dignity of the church, they have lost it and are held captive by a power as hostile to Christ and his church as any of the ancient enemies of Israel were. If we take the Bible seriously, we will interpret every sentence on every page in light of Christ. He who was born in the fullness of time is the fulfillment of every word God has ever spoken to sinful humanity. He is the Word made flesh. His coming into this world was foretold by Jeremiah 10 chapters before the text that is before us this morning. From Jeremiah chapter 23, we read, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." Now listen once more to our text, written 10 chapters later. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness." It's almost as if the prophet is repeating the same prophecy twice. He uses nearly the same words. If you're not paying attention to the pronouns, you might miss what he's saying. In the first prophecy, Jeremiah writes, "And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." And in the second prophecy, Jeremiah writes, "And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness." He and she have the same name. His name is her name. She takes his name, and with it, she receives all that is his. My wife's name is Dorothy Jean Preuss. It didn't used to be. She was born Dorothy Jean Feltz. She was Dorothy Feltz until she was 21 years old. She took my name when she married me, even as I gave her my name when I married her. By sharing the same name, we share the same identity. We suffer together. We rejoice together. We share the same children, the same future, and the same life. She is my body, and I am her head. We belong together. There is no Rolf without Dort, and there is no Dort without Rolf. Excuse me for making this personal, but that's the point of this sermon. When it comes to Jesus Christ and his church, the relationship is personal. She's not an it. She's a she. She's Christ's church. She has his name. She receives God's name in holy baptism. After Jesus offered up to the bar of divine justice his own obedience as the righteousness by which the world would be justified, he instituted holy baptism. This is no mere washing. This is a washing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Our name and God's name are joined together. What is God's is ours. Jesus is God. He is a man. He is the Lord, our righteousness. That's who he is. And since his name is our name, and his identity is our identity, his righteousness is ours as well. Jesus Christ has the name, the Lord, our righteousness. The Holy Christian Church has the name, the Lord, our righteousness. His name is her name. It identifies her. This is how God deals with his people. He puts his name on them and thereby gives them their identity. We read in Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." God's name identifies God, and it identifies his church. The God who blesses us at the close of every divine service with the words he gave to Aaron for Israel is the God who fulfilled what these words promise. He fulfilled the benediction in the advent and incarnation of Jesus, the only begotten Son of the Father, who was born in Bethlehem, the city of David. The kingdom of David now extends all over the world wherever the gospel is preached. St. Paul said of this gospel, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The glory of the church is hidden from human sight. Just as Jesus, when he came to become our righteousness, humbled himself and hid his glory under humility and suffering, just so the church, in receiving her identity from Christ, appears to the world in very humble form. Her glory is not in a clerical hierarchy headed up by a holy father, whether at Rome or somewhere else. Her holiness is hidden from sight. Her righteousness isn't the good deeds of the Christians. It is nothing less than the good deeds and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ himself. His righteousness covers her and constitutes her righteousness. This is what makes her holy. This is why we should cherish the church as our dear mother. Just as God has given her his very name, he has also entrusted to her all of his treasures. We don't dare leave her behind and go off on our own. When we are in charge of our own identity, we turn ourselves into our own gods and fashion idols in our own image. What we feel becomes the standard for right and wrong. What we want becomes the standard for what is true teaching and what is false teaching. We become spiritual orphans, manipulated into soul-destroying sins and errors by every religious con artist that comes along. This is why we Christians stay with Christ by staying with his church. He is the Lord, our righteousness, and she bears his name. Those who want God as their father must embrace the church as their mother. To find the true church of Christ, we don't look for important people with impressive resumes and large followings. We find that church where the gospel of the Lord, our righteousness, is taught truly, and his sacraments are administered rightly. There is Christ. There is his true church. There we will find peace for our souls, because there we receive through faith alone the righteousness we need to stand before God. There is where we belong. Amen. We thank you for being our guests today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. Join us at the services of our parish Tuesday night in Advent at 7 at Grace, Wednesday night during Advent at 7 at First American, Sunday morning at 8:30, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, and at 10:45, Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. Tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.